family business. They prioritize safety for their employees and the public. Compensation is $25 per hour minimum with full benefits with local deliveries only. That means you're home every night. Kenster is an equal opportunity employer. Visit KensterReadyMix.com. That's KIENSTRA ReadyMix.com for all the details.
Shop local for all of your medical and sanitation supply needs with family-owned St. Louis staple, Bertarelli Cutlery & Supply. Work with Marco and his family directly, and they will handle your order. Masks, hand sanitizer, sanitizing wipes, disposable gloves, thermoscanners, and more. Everyone is getting back to work, and Bertarelli Cutlery can customize your plexiglass dividers for your workplace. Contact Marco directly by emailing marco@bertarellico.com or calling 314-323-0712, and he will take your order and take care of you.
This is Mariah from Newsetter's Fine Jewelry, where we offer a choice in diamonds. Mine are lab-grown. We are a leader in offering lab-grown diamonds, which can run 30 to 40% less than mine diamonds. Let us educate you on your options at Big Ben and Doherty Ferry or learn more at wowdiamonds.com.
Looking for that perfect course to shave strokes with reasonable rates and impeccable landscaping? Then look no further than Ruth Park Golf Course. Easily accessible from I-70, Del Mar, and Olive, and boasting Zoysia fairways and bent grass greens, Ruth Park is the perfect course no matter what your skill level. Perfect for the casual golfer, but built to challenge those working on their game, including their 25-station driving range and target greens to really hone in on your skills. Book your round online now at Ruth Park Golf Course.
Kemal's is back with new outdoor seating and safety protocols, but nothing has changed on their incredible menu with the same recipes treating St. Louis for 93 years. They're still kicking it with nightly music and the best happy hour in STL, Monday through Saturday starting at 3:30 p.m. Easily accessible from anywhere in town with a friendly professional staff and the best owner in the business. Kemal's Chop House is the perfect stop. Kemal's, with the new patio, the partitions, and the pasta.
Biggie's Restaurant has been a staple of the community for over 30 years, and starting on May the 19th, they are back for dine-in services. Keeping you safe is just as important as serving the best food in St. Louis, so Biggie's will be open with limited seating, including outdoor tables, no more than 8 to a table, and all 6 feet apart. They will be open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, as well as Sunday, and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. Biggie's will be serving their full menu and all of your favorite daily specials. See you on May the 19th.
For all of your deck, fence, and exterior needs, CMAC Development Decks and Fence is the only call you will need to make. They specialize in decks and fences and believe that quality craftsmanship starts with their perfect designs. Take advantage now and get the exterior of your dreams with their current spring sale. 10% off all materials and labor. To set up a free design and estimate consultation, call 636-385-6387 or visit them at cmacdeckandfence.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your
song. Am I here today?
Life can be so.
Or am I recorded? Is this a recording right now? See, this is for the audience to figure out. Is what you're hearing right now recorded? Or am I here? I could say it's July 14th. I could have recorded that yesterday. You'll learn. You'll know soon.
This rover.
The age of 14 is a roastery named Vilma. Ritualistically shaved my testicles. There really is nothing like a shorn scrotum. It's breathtaking. I suggest you try it.
What is he been doing? Mike, think about it.
You know, I don't
for
know.
As red hot as he was.
He's been in a couple of movies, little cameo pieces.
Yeah,
but
wasn't he in that Adam?
He was in the Queen movie.
Yeah. Okay, that's right. As a record producer.
Oh, yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's right.
In a role that's not anything like character?
It was pretty serious, right?
What was the spy character? Crap, I just forgot.
Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Or Wayne's World.
Yeah, nothing like either one of those. He's a really talented, brilliant guy. I just wonder sometimes how those people sort of not quit, but take real long breaks from the business. If you can afford it, why not? Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the July 14th edition of the large morning show in the afternoon, and the heat wave continues. But today is a little different than the other days we've experienced in the 90s, because today is the 14th of July, which, as you know, is another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Was it 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day?
We will get to the Burke segment. We will get to your calls. We will get to Dan Buffa next hour. I will speak first, and what I'm about to share with you, I could easily take 3 hours to do. Easily. I could take 6 hours to do it. I was gone yesterday, and I understand that you were told that I had just taken a day off. True, I did take a day off. Didn't want to take a day off, but I took a day off. Sometimes the best way to do something like this is just to get it out, okay? Like millions of other people, we have an alcoholic in our family, and it is my older son. And right now, he is in the hospital, a hospital in the St. Louis area, until he is stable enough to go to rehab. Now, this is something that millions of people go through. It's alcohol, not pills. And, you know, there are people who, I don't know, I guess look down on people who have this. I personally, when somebody finally decides this is it, I have to end this, I admire those people. I mean, I don't look down on them. In this case, it's my own son. So, of course, I love him. I love all my kids. But up until now, I was one of those people who sat back and heard about other people's alcoholics, you know, and their families. I have known for 20 years that he drank too much. He's known for 20 years that he drank too much. What we didn't know was how serious and how severe it was, because alcoholics are masters of deceit, and they're really good liars. And I'm saying the same things about my own son that I would say about anybody. They're liars and they're deceitful. Is that a real cigarette? Yeah, I'm smoking a real cigarette in here. Is that a vapor?
It's the vape.
Okay, just for a second, it looked, I thought it was
just not like
cigarette.
A real cigarette.
I was going to have to terminate you for breaking and violating, you know, the rules.
No. Oh, Sam Page.
So we knew he drank a lot, but for whatever reason, this last couple of months, a lot of red flags, a lot of bad stuff. And what I'd like to say up front, and I'll repeat it toward the end, is, and I don't mean this in any way to be a jerk or not appreciate whatever number of you there are out there. I don't know how many of you are listening, but what I know will happen, because you're good people and you love this show, and a lot of you have followed what I do for a long, long time, is you will have the tendency to want to email me and ask questions. Please don't do that, because I don't have time. My next few days, like yesterday and Sunday, are going to be completely eaten up, and they're going to be long days, and I just won't have time to respond, and I don't want you to think I'm rude by not responding or appreciating what you say. I don't want to recommend to other people anything, because I'm not an expert, and I can't do that. And what's right for somebody is not right for somebody else. And some people want to clean up, and he does, and others don't. No matter how hard you try, they refuse. We're lucky in that he finally said that he's been lying for years, lied to the two people that he loves the most, his parents and his brother, three people, and his sister. Okay. Poor people. Oh, and his fiance lying to five people. Except she knew more than we knew. So here's the deal. He is in a hospital. What hospital doesn't matter. But I'm going to share with you some very depressing, eye-opening stuff I saw yesterday. And until he is able to stand up and walk and is coherent, and they flush some things out of him and into him, that's where he'll be for another day or another 2 days or whatever. And then we have to get him immediately to a facility. Please don't recommend facilities to me. I've been for the last 48 hours. You can't even believe how many people in my family have researched facilities, have been on the phone, talked to places, talked to people. And what's interesting is, like anything else, like a hotel, if you go online and you start reading Yelp reviews or postings, you'll get one person that said, this is the worst place in the world, and another place that said, oh my goodness, this is the greatest place we've ever seen. And then you start to get confused. Which is it? So you do the best you can, and in the end, what we've decided to do is we know where we're going to take him. And it's not local. It's a long drive because I don't think he can fly anywhere. So his mom and I will take him. And he will hopefully become the person that he used to be and could be. That's the hope. I'm not going to say it's going to happen because I'm also well aware of the fact that in this country, 60% of people that go to rehab go back again, and a great percentage of those go back a third time. And I met a guy yesterday who is a six-time rehabber. He's been clean now for 20 years, but it took six full rehab stints for him. I'm hoping that's not going to be the case here. But no guarantees, so I thought the best thing to do was just tell you why I was gone yesterday and why I might probably not be gone tomorrow, but I might have to be gone Thursday, because the minute that he can, he's able, we're out of here and get this thing started. And there's another reason for sharing this with you. I am a firm believer, and I'm even more convinced of this after, over the course of the last couple of days, talking to multiple alcoholics, that in the end, they realize the very best thing is for everybody to know. There is no benefit to the secrecy. There's not. There's tremendous benefit in letting everybody know and not caring if everybody knows, because here's what happens. I got to do this, and I don't care if you hit the farts out. Thank you. Here's what happens. A tremendous outpouring of support and well wishes and empathy and, hey, been there too with my brother, my husband. That's what happens based on everybody I've talked to. Yes, there will be that person or two that wants to say nasty things or wants to blame somebody. Well, the reason your kid did that is because you, blah, blah, screw those people. Most of what happens is supportive comments. I don't need those comments. I'm not looking for those comments. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I know that some of you will still do that. I appreciate it. But it's not necessary here. This is not about me needing your attention. This is about me heading off any lies or speculation about why I was gone or might be gone again. I think it's smart to get out in front of that, just tell the truth, because if I don't, people are going to... Look, I don't want this to sound... I don't want this to come off wrong. I don't want people to start getting online and speculate, well, Frank was gone because his cancer spreading, and I think he doesn't have long to live. Or they hear about my son, but then the version they hear is not accurate. So let's just get the truth out. So that's why I was gone. And that's it. I could talk about this for 3 hours. One of the things I do want to talk about, though, is my time yesterday in the emergency room at a well-known hospital here. And this is in no way the fault of the hospital. It's the fault of this COVID crap, which I now more than ever am convinced is a real thing, but is so exaggerated, and we are overreacting so much that it is going to cripple this country. And I'll give you another example of why I think that in a minute. But let's go back to the waiting room yesterday, in the emergency waiting room. We took my son there. Actually, an ambulance took him there. We took him from his home to a rehab place that we won't go back to. He wasn't there 15 minutes, and they had to call an ambulance. They thought he was having a heart attack, and he wasn't. His blood pressure was so low they couldn't get a pulse. So they were going to take him to Hospital A. And as they're loading him, I asked this woman who was an EMT, I said, where are you taking him? And she told me. And when she said the name of the hospital, I said, you have kids? She said, yeah. I said, would you take your child to that hospital? And she said, no. I said, where would you take him? And she told me, and I said, then that's where you take him. And they did. So then we follow and we go to the hospital. Now, yesterday, most of us don't spend a lot of time around hospitals. We go when we have to go. Somebody in the family's in the hospital, we go visit them. What an eye-opening experience this was yesterday. And the name of the hospital doesn't matter, because I don't in any way want this to come off as the hospital's fault. It's the fault of this COVID crap. And yes, to me personally, the fact that it is inflated, it's real, it kills people, but it is exaggerated, and I'm not kidding, that's what I think. Now, because of that, they have a distancing. So there were 77 people that were there for an emergency. They came to the emergency room. Yes, some people go to the emergency room when it's not an emergency, but I looked at these people, and a lot of them really needed help. 77 of them. Half of them were sitting outside. They're sitting on the curb in folding chairs. It was hot yesterday because they can't get them all in there because of social distancing. And these people sat for hours. My son sat in the emergency room after 8 hours of dry heaves, in and out of being coherent, and they let him sit there for 3 hours. And he would have sat there for 6 or 8 hours if I hadn't done what I did, which is irrelevant. But I managed to keep him. And this guy at the hospital said he may sit here for 10 hours. And I said, are you kidding me? Look at him. Slumped over, in and out of contact. He said, and look around him, he said, at all these other people. We can only get to so many because of COVID, one at a time. You can't even go in. My son and I together couldn't even go sit with him in the waiting room, in the emergency room, because of the limited number of people. But what I saw, folks, there are a lot of really messed up people. And here are the three biggest messer-uppers: alcohol, heroin, and meth. How did we get here? How did we get to where so many people cannot walk away from these substances? I don't know, because I've never wanted to smoke cigarettes. Nicotine is highly addictive. A lot of people can't stop. I've never wanted to. I don't care anything about alcohol. Never have. But I do understand there are people who cannot fight it. Some can, some can't. But boy, this scene yesterday, there was a woman sitting outside in the heat who was so drunk, other people had to go over and lift her back up after she slumped over in the chair she was sitting in outdoors and could have fallen over and hit her head on the concrete because they couldn't get her inside. So I just guess I want those of you who have had no experience with this, I want to say this to you. You probably will. I said a long time ago, nobody gets a pass in this world. Nobody has a perfect life in this world. There are people who've probably thought for years that I got it made. I got three great kids, which I do. Easy job. Don't have to really work hard. Used to. Not now. Well, nice house, nice car. Got it made. No, nobody does. Nobody has it made. Nobody. Some people won't share with you. But if they did, you'd find out. Nobody gets a pass. So, that's why I wasn't here yesterday. That's why I will probably be able to be here tomorrow. Maybe not Thursday, because the minute we can, we're gone. And hopefully it'll work. It'll take. So that's it. No Q&A. No, I don't need any calls. I don't need any emails. I think I owe it to you. And again, part of it is to avoid people speculating, spreading rumors. So anything you hear other than my son finally decided he's tired of living like this and he's going to get help, anything else is not true. So there you go. Does anybody have anything to say? Burke segment time. Nothing? You probably ate it all up yesterday when I wasn't here after the weekend.
No, we tried not to. I do have something, but I have to find it real quick. Couple. This couple in Oregon. I thought this story was just awesome. It's an Oregon man. He was driving a stolen vehicle.
That's a good story. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Good. Yeah. Anybody else?
That's all I have.
Anybody else?
No, he was driving a
stolen... there's more.
Yeah, there's more. He was driving a stolen vehicle, and he crashed into a woman who was also driving a stolen vehicle.
Beautiful.
So now they're both arrested. He stole a car. She stole a
car.
What
are the chances?
I know.
What are the chances?
Crashed into each other, so now they're both arrested.
I'm sorry. I want to take a sidebar for a minute. There was a story I meant to share with you about this COVID thing. Wait till you hear this. This is fantastic because this actually supports what I've been saying all along about these phony, fraudulent numbers.
Right.
This morning, my wife got a call from a friend of hers. Wait till you hear this. Her parents live in New Jersey. They thought they had come in contact with somebody, and I don't know why they thought this, but for whatever reason, they thought, this person went, traveled somewhere, they might have COVID, we might have been exposed, let's go get tested. So apparently, this is somewhere in New Jersey, they knew they could go. They go to get tested. Pay attention, folks, this is true, and I would like to say unbelievable, but I believe it. It is true, and I think you got to remember this is just one example of this. They go to get tested, and the line, we've all seen the news pictures of the cars where they're testing to drive up, lines of cars, hours waiting. So
miles
they go,
long.
And after 2 or 3 or 4 hours or whatever, they just gave up. Now keep in mind that when they got there, they took their information, your name, your phone number, email address, da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, get in the line, and we'll get to you, and now they're waiting for their COVID test. They got tired and went home. After they get home, they receive, and look, I don't know if it was a text or a phone call, but they got the message, we have your tests and you're both positive. They were never tested.
Wow.
They never even got tested. And they got home and got the word, you're positive. Now, there's something wrong here. Between that and people getting discharged who had a massive heart attack, and on the discharge paper, COVID-19. What's going on? What is this? And how come somebody else, much bigger than I am with a bigger platform, isn't asking these questions? How is that? You're positive. We got your test results. Never took the test. And now, back to the Burke segment.
I don't know that anything like that ever really makes it to the news, even if those
Why,
people,
though? Why? This is to me, it's a huge story, no, these things like this.
I know, even if those people do say, go to the news or and say, this right. is what happened.
It's being suppressed.
They don't.
But what's the end game here? Why would the government, the whatever, allow this to go on and not come out and say, we're shutting this down? You people who are faking and putting fraudulent code to get money for the hospital, no more, because it inflates the numbers.
Frank, I honestly think that if that were happening a lot, that people who never got tested were being called and saying, you turned up positive, I think that news outlets would be reporting that very heavily. I think it's possible that that was a mistake, that they were called incorrectly. And the reason I say that is because when you do test positive, at least in Missouri, and I presume throughout most states, if not all the states in the country, there's protocol in place, especially for the larger counties, to have follow-up with you. Who have you been in contact with? Who have you, are you quarantining? Where do you live? Where do you work? And they would be getting follow-up calls after that, as opposed to just a one-time call, you're positive. I don't know if they've received those calls or not, but I would think that if that was happening widespread, it would be big. Okay, it would be a big story.
Let me ask you this. The fact that we personally know three people who have family members who were discharged mm-hmm. from the hospital right. with something completely other than COVID. In fact, in two of the cases, they were tested mm-hmm. negative, yet the discharge papers are positive. Now, you're going to tell me those That's three that we know well, about are just
well,
here?
Those are two complete different stories.
They're completely different stories, but they're both examples of fraudulent COVID cases that never existed. It can't just be the people, three people we know, and one person, my parents, and it's got to be more than that. It can't just be around.
Isn't it like the more
us.
Cases they register, more funding and
the
stuff
more money
like
they
that
get.
Receive?
Yeah, right. So it's exactly what it is. That's why I don't trust the numbers. That's why I believe. Yes, there is a COVID-19, a coronavirus. Yes, it can kill you if you are already sick or old. That's probably how it will kill you. Do I believe we need to be shutting things down like we did, or like now in California, they've closed all the restaurants again? And that my answer, right or wrong, is no. I don't. Something is weird here. It just is. And then today, the headline, 1 in 3 people knows someone with COVID. I don't buy that for a minute. Where'd they pull that out of their butts? 1 in 3. How could they possibly think about it? How could they know that? That 1 in 3 people knows somebody. You can't even possibly, you can't know that.
Well, how do they know that Parson and Galloway are tied? They had to have pulled a number of people. You can't just pull that out of thin air. You have to pull somebody to make a story like that.
Or you just put that out there and say you pulled them, and that's what you want people to believe. You and I are opposite ends of this.
It's ethically impermissible for somebody to do that. For somebody that's a news outlet to do that.
I think it's ethically impermissible for a hospital to discharge, to put on the papers of a guy died of a heart attack at 86 that he had COVID. That's ethically impermissible, but it happened.
And I think eventually investigative reporting will pull that out at some point down the road. A year, 6 months. At some point, people will pay the piper for doing that.
Okay,
I have enough confidence in the investigative journalistic entities in this country to flush that out, if indeed that's widespread.
Okay.
I just don't know when.
I hope you're right. Anything else for the Burke segment? Anybody else?
I do. No.
All right, Tim Woodburn.
Just to lighten it up a tad. I thought I'd tell you
I like
a
heavy.
Funny. Okay. Well, I'm heavy. So to heavy it up.
That's good. That was good. Okay, go ahead.
To heavy it up a tad. Let me just set the scene here. Both of these women that I'm about to describe to you are in their mid-30s, wealthy, and easy nines.
I'm in.
Okay.
Oh, you got me.
I thought he was going to say they were easy then. Like, I'm interested.
Well, easy and nine.
Hey, there you go.
Let me finish the story, and you might be onto something.
You got my attention.
They're friends, and they live in a really upscale.
Friends of you?
They're friends, yes,
okay.
And friends of each other.
Oh.
And they live in a really, really upscale neighborhood. And are very wealthy, and both them and their husbands do very well for themselves.
Okay.
And I had done a little bit of PI work for one of them, doing background checks on a couple of different. There was some suspicion of infidelity, right?
Okay.
So one of the females, the nine, there's the blonde nine and the brunette nine. I'll set it up that way, so that way that'll keep it separate. Okay, the blonde nine's husband, the blonde caught her husband in bed with the brunette nine,
and they're
best friends. They're best friends.
I'm envisioning this, and I see two really hot. I'm seeing a hot scene in my mind.
No. There's an angry scene that you should be seeing in your mind, okay? Because the blonde nine, when she caught, and it happened in her own bed.
Oh. Okay, so the blonde nine walked in on the brunette nine?
On the brunette and her husband in the blonde nine's bed. The blonde caught her husband and the brunette, and their neighbor, they're not next door neighbors, but they're in the same neighborhood, caught them in the same bed. And
so
I thought the husband came in and caught
no.
This would be like Limey walks in on his girlfriend. Let's just say maybe one. And I'm.
It'd be Limey's girlfriend walking in on him with her best friend.
With my wife.
Or with her best friend. Right. Okay. Exactly. Okay. Wow. Blonde and the brunette are best friends. Mm. Blonde catches her husband in bed with the brunette.
Mm.
Bitch.
The blonde went so berserk upon observing this and seeing this, not physically in the room, she went so berserk on calling every friend, on sending out flyers in the neighborhood, on calling everyone, on letting everybody on Facebook know, on letting all these girls know, that the brunette, who's the slut of the two, got a St. Louis County judge to issue a restraining order against the blonde from contacting anybody she knows.
Wow.
That's something. I know the blonde is the one on paper portrayed as the crazy nut who's dangerous.
She has the restraining order against her from contacting anybody that this woman knows or coming anywhere near her, even though she came into her house and slept with her husband in her bed.
Wow.
And that's how the justice system works in this world, folks.
There you go.
That's how it works. I mean,
another example.
You can harass somebody no matter what they do to you, you can harass somebody to a certain degree, but when you start trying to wreck people's lives and wreck people, because she was sending out flyers to everybody that this gal worked with, putting them on the windshield of their cars. She's putting flyers on the windshield of her coworkers' cars.
So the brunette could text the blonde right now, hey, I'm with your husband, but as you know, you can't come near me. Wow. Right?
Well, that's a good question for Scott Sherman, because I'm not sure how that plays, because then the judge might throw it out because she applied for it, and if she's going to taunt her like that, you know, then you might have a hearing, or you might have cause for them to have restraining orders against each other.
Got to hand it to the brunette, though. She deflected and put the focus on the blonde as the bad person.
And the husband is friends with everybody. The husband's friends with the husband as well, you know. So now you got that issue of.
I was going to say two marriages just collapsed.
Well, so it's one thing for we talked about this a week ago. The women on like at my family reunion, the women on women watching a woman on woman fight. Those always get nasty, and this is a classic example of that. Because if it had been the guy and the husband, you know, it would have just been involving a gun or a fist or a weapon.
So what ought to happen here is the brunette's husband, because he's kind of out of this triangle.
Well, he kicked her out.
He needs to end up with the blonde.
Yes.
Well, it's fair is fair.
That's common.
All's fair. Kind of.
Remember the Shania Twain story?
No.
Shania Twain's husband left her. You know what Shania Twain looks like?
Oh, yeah.
Her husband left her for Shania Twain's best friend, who's not nearly as hot as Shania Twain. And then Shania Twain ends up marrying that best friend's husband.
Wow.
They're married to each other's husbands now. Wow. It's kind of almost the same thing, except this brunette's husband hasn't married the blonde yet. Mm-mm. It's weird.
Mm. Well, you've told me a few stories of people that you've come across in the radio world that have had very interesting shenanigans along those lines as well. I mean, it's nothing. It just goes to show that even at age 50, honestly, nothing shocks me anymore. Nothing shocks me.
And I think I can say that. I'm not shocked by much of anything. Surprised, maybe. Disappointed, maybe. But shocked, nah.
So the other thing is that during the a third party told me about this conversation. A third-party female who's friends with the other two females involved in this. She's the one who told me about all this. And then I looked it up online to confirm it, that there was a restraining order filed. Then she tells me this interesting little morsel and tidbit. Okay, and this is not something I knew. I think Limey's going to be interested in this. Just because he's an interesting guy. Not because he's going to fall into this category. But in the neighborhood, I live in Eureka. And there is a very wealthy part of Eureka, and you've played golf there, Frank. It's called the Legends Neighborhood.
Right.
Okay. Now, according to these three women, and I've met all three of them, according to these three women, if you have a large rock on your front yard painted white.
Oh, I've heard this.
It means you're a swinger.
Yes, I've heard that. No, I've heard
this. Can you ride around the neighborhood?
Really? I've heard this. No, I know about this.
I had no idea.
A big rock painted white.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about pineapple flags, but I've never heard about a large painted white rock, which I guess would be... Because, I mean, if you're going to get a large rock just to put in your driveway, you're not going to paint it, are you? So if you get one and you paint it a significant color...
So you people, if you have a rock as decorative landscaping and it's white, you better paint it another color.
Yeah, right.
But because other people think that you and your spouse are
swingers. The Johnsons are going to come knocking at your
door. That's right, with their Johnsons.
Uh-huh. Johnson. All right. Yeah. And here's where I'm going with this. If you have a neighbor you don't like, or you have somebody that you don't like,
paint it white.
Find out when they go on vacation and have a nice big white rock sent to their front yard.
Yeah. Or nice. In the night, go and paint a big rock. White, and then when they come back, they'll wonder why all these other couples are all of a sudden very friendly.
Instead of invited to all the barbecues.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow, you never invited us before.
What happened?
Hey, we got a couple of dogs.
White Rock Swingers.
White Rock Swingers.
That'd be a good name for a club. The White Rock Swingers.
Good name for a band.
Yeah.
There you go, Dan.
White Rock Swingers.
When you're the Sinbad Sevens, when you guys go belly up, you do White Rock Swingers. Yeah. Let me give you the numbers. You're going to need it for Dan Buffin, and I got to get caught up because I...
And we have a couple of calls. I think you might want to...
Okay, well, I played hooky yesterday, so I got caught up for that business-wise. And we will. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Let's see. Dave, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, guys. AM and the PM.
Thank you, Dave.
Frank, the story you just told, that's my second time in less than 2 hours hearing it. I got a message from a friend of mine that I work with, or did work with, we're waiting to be rehired, that a friend of his wife and his daughter made appointments at a Walgreens in to be tested for COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, they didn't show up for their appointment. They got a call a little longer.
We lost you. They got a call. What?
Well,
I know what he was going to say.
They got a call a little longer positive. Saying they were positive.
That they're positive. Yes. So, see, this is not an isolated, it just happened here, it just happened there. There's something weird going on here. It is a deliberate attempt to blow these numbers up. And by doing it, you're scaring the crap out of everybody.
What would the motive be?
That's what I can't figure out.
Money for who?
Hospitals,
research and stuff,
medical
like
facilities. Well, they get the checks. They get big checks for every COVID case.
And somebody, some fat cat, is secretly conspiring to do this while 25% of the country is unemployed and panicking and committing suicide.
Yes,
and
because
jumping
greedy
off
people don't care anything about that.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
You think they're that greedy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, greedy! Oh, yeah. Greedy wealthy people. Greedy people. They don't give a crap about anybody. Yeah. And there are people that own medical facilities. It's owned privately by people, and they want all the cash they can get. Yeah, I do believe that. And that's a great, Dave. Thank you. That's one more example. There have to be thousands. There's no way that our two little stories are the only two. Let's go to Bob. Bob, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. First off, I just want to say how sad I am. I grew up with a father who was a functioning alcoholic, a grandfather, and a sister who's an alcoholic, so I know exactly what you're going through, and I wish you and your son the best of luck.
And I thank you for that, and Bob, that is the very kind of call that I'm not asking for, but I greatly appreciate what you said. What else can we do
for
you?
Secondly, you know, I drive for Uber and Lyft. Since this pandemic started, I've probably had over 1,000 people in my car. I ask every one of them, do they know of or know anybody that has had the COVID-19 virus? Do you know? Take a guess. How many people have said, yes, I know somebody or I know of somebody?
One or two, maybe, probably none.
Two. Yeah. Exactly two. Two. This virus is way overrated. I know it's deadly, but so are lightning storms. So is swimming with sharks. You know, it's just something that we have to learn to deal with and accept. And I just wanted to share that with you.
I appreciate it, Bob. You just answered a question I was going to have later, because honestly, I didn't know, is Uber still, are you guys still operating? Can you still call an Uber?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of Uber and Lyft drivers took the $600 a week unemployment that was offered to them. I made a decision long ago, Frank, that as long as I can produce in society, I'm going to be a productive member of society. And I've made a lot more money during this pandemic because of the lazy asses who decide to take government money instead of get off their butts and earn a wage.
Well,
but yeah, I've been doing it for quite a while.
It's too bad that there are so many people who don't think like you do, Bob.
I agree 100%.
All right, thank you, Bob.
Have a great day.
How about that? He polls people. Know anybody with COVID? No. Two people out of the hundreds. Les, I guess, is next. Les, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Thank you, Frank. Amen to PM.
Thank you.
I have a good friend who's an EMT driver.
Okay.
And she actually had to bring her mother to the hospital with a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And on the death certificate, they wrote COVID.
Here we go. Heart attack. I'm telling you.
She questioned it.
Yeah.
And when she questioned it, they said the state of Illinois gets $35,000 for every COVID death.
I've heard 39.
Every death certificate.
I've heard 39, but it's a lot of money. And 39 or 35,000 times hundreds is a lot of money. And thank you for that story. And now, Les, you have just further confirmed this is not an isolated little mistake here and there. This is a deliberate mission on somebody's part to blow this thing out of proportion to pad somebody's pockets. And I'm sick of it. Look what it's done to this country. Look what we're all wearing these goofy masks when if someday we find out, and I hope we do, it was really for nothing. You know that Lake of the Ozarks thing everybody made a big deal out of? A Redhead, which is, I've been there, it's a resort, people packed into a pool. You know how many COVID cases came out of that? One, and that person admitted, they already had it before they went there. So there you go. Thank you, Les.
And I have over 50 employees.
Yeah.
And of the 50 employees, I know 3 cases. So, the 1 in 3 is...
Well, you know 3 cases that somebody said were positive. Do you know that the 3 people were actually really, really sick or had any real symptoms?
Well, and I won't say they had symptoms. One went to the doctor because she had went to the dentist for an abscess tooth.
Yeah.
And before she left, she was diagnosed with COVID.
Okay. See, I don't trust anything anymore. I don't even trust the positive diagnoses. I don't know what to believe. I don't.
No.
All right, thank you, Les. Appreciate it. I can do a quick bit of business here. I got an email and a real letter. It's a card, and it's Don K. I don't know the
Don
last
K?
Name. Oh, Don K.
Oh, I thought you meant his last name was K.
No, it's like the letter K.
Gotcha.
Like an initial.
Danny's brother.
Could be. And he sent me this card, and he said, "Dear Frank, I saw this and immediately thought of you and John Landolf. I got to stop listening to you and get a life." Now, here's the card. It's like a birthday card or just a card. It says, it shows a bunch of ducks. And one duck says, "Did you say something?" Another duck's going, "Huh?" And the third duck, "Huh?" And at the top it says, "A real high-pitched fart will work as a duck call." So, in other words, if you do that, ducks will think you're calling. Mm-hmm. So, Don, I will save this for Mr. Londo's birthday. Thank you. I'll give it
to
him.
Great.
Now, I get this great email about Johnny Landolf Chevrolet. It's a copy of what this listener sent to John Landolf. Here's the email. "John, I want to reach out and thank you for your personal service that you give your customers. It's truly amazing. I've purchased several trucks from you through the years. I was led to your business through," and he mentions this show, "and your advertising on that show." He says, "When my 2017 Chevy Silverado air conditioning went out due to a bad condenser on the AC unit, I checked with 2 other Chevy dealers close to my home, and they said the part had to be ordered. It would take 14 to 21 days to get the part and perform the service. I reached out to you. You had me bring the truck in right away and offered me a loaner that I drove to your dealership. You met me in the showroom. You walked me to Ashley in the service department where she took over, and I explained that I ordered the part at another dealer. You went to your parts department and got your parts manager who came out. I explained to him and Ashley what was wrong with the truck. They sprang into action. Before I signed the papers for the loaner vehicle, Ashley said, 'We have located the part. It will be here first thing in the morning. Now, keep in mind, two other dealers, 14 to 21 days. Landoff, tomorrow morning. She said she'd keep me posted on the repair. To my amazement, less than 24 hours later, I received a call from Ashley that my truck was ready to go. To say I was impressed is an understatement. I make my living with that truck. And they knew that, and they knew how important it was to get it done ASAP, not to mention the heat index was over 100 degrees all last week. I'm sorry for rambling. I just wanted to explain because I have never had anyone go above and beyond like you and your employees did for me. You have a lifetime customer. While I am AM in the PM, I wanted the personal attention you gave me for the credit for that to be given to everybody responsible, and I want all the people who enter your dealership to know that. Thank you sincerely, Ron, and I won't mention Ron's last name, but Ron, what a tremendous email. I don't have to add anything to that. You know, Johnny Landoff in Florissant sells Chevys, new ones, and they have a pre-owned inventory, and you know that their St. Peter's location is pre-owned only, the Autoplex. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. You can find out everything on this website 24/7, Landoff.com. Now, I have one more bit of business, so I'm going to try to do this. Take one quick phone call, do a bit of business, then we'll be caught up. Let's make that call. Ken. Ken, I got about 2 minutes. It's yours. Welcome to 590 The Fan.
And the PM, Frank.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I don't know if anybody else experienced this, but I live in the Illinois, and I get routine monthly prescriptions filled at the Walmart, and they will not allow you to sign now the pad that runs through the insurance, you know, to, you sign that your name showing that, you know, you have the insurance is going to pay it.
Right.
And I looked, and the guy wouldn't let me sign it. He assigned it COVID. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, why would you sign that COVID? He goes, oh, it's something we do. I said, no, you can write my name there if you don't want me to sign it. But I said, I don't want COVID associated with me and my insurance.
Wow.
We do this for everybody. And I said, well, wow, that's the wrong thing to do. I said, you do not sign COVID on this document that goes to my insurance. I said, how am I supposed to know they're going to think that I might have the COVID virus or something? And he goes, well, we do this for everyone. I said, that doesn't matter. I said, get your manager. They bring the manager over. I said, I want this returned. I want to start this process over. And I do not want COVID written on this screen that goes to my insurance. And she goes, well, we're sorry, but we have a policy to do that. I said, well, your policy's wrong. I said, you don't associate COVID to a person who has no COVID virus whatsoever.
And is there for completely other reason.
And I said, this is uncalled for. And she goes, well, we'll make the change. They made the change. They wrote my name in there. And I said, well, how many people just walk away from this? They said, well, everybody. I said, well, that's the wrong attitude to have. I said, you do not want to be doing this.
Well, and, thank you. I'm telling you, months ago, I went on and said something is not right. And it started with these discharge papers from people with heart attacks when they put COVID on there. I'm out of time.
Correct.
Ken, thank you. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Amen and PM.
Thank you. See, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, something's wrong here. First Community Credit Union, that's where I bank, do all my banking. I was there. Oh, today I was there. Wasn't in there long. I got my business done in about 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes. Now, I didn't have to go in there. I could have gone to the drive-thru. You know what else I'm doing? I'm forgetting every morning. I'm not used yet to, ooh, I forgot my mask. Have you found yourself doing this? Like,
I leave it in my
like
car.
I left my wallet. Too. I left my, well, I'm going to have to keep a couple in the car in case a string break, but I didn't. I finally found one in the car so I could walk into First Community Credit Union. It's where I do all my banking. It's where I would love for you to consider doing all of your banking. Small business, they love you. They love partnering with small businesses. Ladies and gentlemen, there are several reasons this is the number one, the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. And one of those reasons is rates. Why wouldn't you, if there's the possibility you could have a lower car payment, lower house payment, why wouldn't you take a look at their rates? The rest is up to you. First Community Credit Union, you can find out more at firstcommunity.com. Buffett.com. Is Dan Buffett in the house? Yes, he's over there with his beard even fuller now that he's grown it back. We're going to talk a little TV, movies, whatever, not theater movies, but movies you're watching probably at home. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is locally owned 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. A Trump administration order which blocks foreign students from taking classes only online is being rescinded. NBC's Julie Ainsley says a judge in Boston considering a case involving Harvard and MIT started her session by making the announcement.
The government has backed down before a judge even had to get involved. And as you said, I've covered immigration a lot. Usually...